Psalm 20. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven and with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. Let the King hear us when we call. Let's pray. Lord, we come into your presence in the name of thy Son, the King. And Lord, we pray, let the King hear us when we call. Lord, we would see thy Son. We would hear your gospel. We would, by your grace, be enabled to worship you. That's our desire. And we pray that we might be enabled to do that. Oh, Lord, that your gospel would be preached and that you would give us hearing ears. Speak for Christ's sake. Forgive us of our sins for Christ's sake. Cleanse us. Wash us. Lord, we are a needy people. We would ask for you to meet our need, which we know you will. We pray for our friends that are going through difficult times. We would remember Lindsay. We pray for your grace upon Tim and Jessica at this time. We pray for Jim Murphy. We pray for your blessing upon the surgery tomorrow. All those that are going through physical afflictions, emotional afflictions, we thank you that you're the great physician and that you're too wise to err, too kind to be cruel, and too powerful for your will not to be done. And we give thanks. We pray for your people everywhere, wherever your gospel's preached. Meet with us for Christ's sake. In his name we pray. Amen. Notice to the chief musician, there are 55 psalms that are addressed to the chief musician. And that means that this is a psalm that is meant to be sung publicly. It's a part of public worship. Now, I love long psalms. I love Psalm 119 as far as that goes. But I love to try to preach from short psalms because you can read them twice. Can't read Psalm 119 twice in a half an hour. But you can read Psalm 20 twice, and I want to look at it first as spoken of Christ himself, either the words of Christ or spoken of Christ, then I want to read it again as spoken of David and all of his people. So we're going to read it in that light. Now, first, let's consider this as spoken of Christ. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. Now, what is the day of trouble for the Lord Jesus Christ? That's talking about the cross. That's the day of trouble. Now, the Lord did hear him. If you think of his first and last words from the cross, Father, forgive them. You know what? The Father heard him. And he forgave everybody he prayed for. And I think of his last word from the cross, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And you think of the Father willingly taking him in his death. But there was also a time when the Lord was not heard from the cross, when he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the reason the first and last words were heard is because those words were not heard. He was forsaken. He had no response from his Father, nothing but his frown. And because of that, because of his great substitutionary death, he could pray, Father, forgive them. And they were forgiven. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob. What name does God use to describe himself more than any other name in the scripture? The God of Jacob. I love Jacob. And he's the God of Jacob. And notice it says, defend thee. My marginal reading says, set thee on high. And how high was the Lord set? At the right hand of the Father after his victory in the day of trouble. Verse 2, send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Now, when I think of the, obviously I don't understand this, but the Lord was so, his human, perfect human nature was so weakened at the thought of drinking that cup, the cup of the sins of his people, that angels were sent to strengthen him. Now, somebody says, explain that, I wouldn't dare. I have no idea, but who knows what all that means when he sweat great drops of blood. But the Lord strengthened him from the sanctuary, the holy place out of Zion, the mountain in Jerusalem. Look what he says in verse 3. Remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Now this is the acceptance of his life. God the Father accepted his life. And he accepted his death. That's the burnt sacrifices. He accepted his life. He accepted his death. And he accepted everybody he lived and died for. Complete acceptance by God the Father. Because of his life and because of his death. Verse 4, grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. Grant your every desire. What was his desire? Well, I think we could say it twofold. Number one, to glorify his Father. You remember when he said in John chapter 17, verse 1, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also might glorify thee. That was his desire in what he was doing. But not only that, he came to save his people from their sins. That was his desire. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. And that's exactly what took place. Verse 5, we. Now, don't you love it when the Lord prays as a we? We. He's not just talking about himself, but he's talking about every one of his people. He can never be separated from his people. When he says we, he was talking about poor old Todd Nybert and every other believer. We, He speaks as a we. Put your name in there. If you're a believer, he speaks as a we. We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God will we set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now, the word set up our banners is a verb that means make conspicuous, make to be seen. Now we will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we'll set up our banners. Now, what is conspicuous in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ? The name of God. The attributes of God. Every attribute of God is made conspicuous in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. How conspicuous is his justice? He's going to punish sin. How conspicuous is his power? He puts away sin. I mean, how every attribute of God is made glorious in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he says. We'll set up our... This is what's going to be made conspicuous. The name of the Lord our God. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. And indeed, the Lord did. Everything Christ asked for, the Father gave him. Now, verse 6. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. Now his anointed is Christ. And you know this thing of assurance, when we can say, I know this. I know the Lord saveth his anointed. I know the Lord saved Christ and everybody in him. Now that is assurance. I know that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. He will answer with the saving strength of his right hand. And I love to think of the saving strength of his right hand. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost who come to God by him. Verse 7. Some trust in chariots, and some in horses, armies, political power. This is said to be the watchword of the Reformation, this verse. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. This is Christ's complete faith, and this is our hope. The name of the Lord our God, they are brought down, those who trust in chariots, and they're fallen, but we are risen. Now, this is speaking of the resurrection of Christ. We are risen, and we stand upright, perfectly accepted in the Beloved. And then the Lord says, save, Lord. Let the King hear us when we call. The Lord prays this, and so do we, and in him hearing we are saved. Isn't that beautiful as the words of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, let's consider these as the words of David and the words of me and you. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. Man that is born of woman is born to trouble. As the sparks fly upward. You see a fire and the sparks flying upward. Man that's born of woman, he's born to trouble. The Lord said, in the world, you shall have tribulation. That's God's promise to you. You are going to have trouble. I'm going to have trouble. One of the most difficult things about trouble is you cannot separate our trouble from our sin. Now, if somebody's going through trouble and you start thinking, I wonder what they did that brought this on, you're wrong in thinking that way. Don't think like that. But in your own troubles, you can't separate your sin from your own trouble. So, you know, if you didn't have any sin to deal with, it wouldn't be trouble, would it? But with your sin. Yet the Lord says, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob. Now, one of the things I like to think about Jacob, one of the things that's very evident from this man's life, is he was a very simple man. Any question about that? He was a very sinful man. He was always trying to cover things up. He seemed deceptive. There are just so many bad things that you could say about Jacob. And yet God calls himself the God of Jacob. He's the God of sinners. Now that's who he is. The God of Jacob, the name of the God of Jacob, defend thee, set thee on high, and in Christ we've been set on high. Verse 2, send thee help from the holy place and strengthen thee out of Zion. Now that's what I need. Lord, help me. You ever pray that prayer? Lord, help me. Lord, strengthen me. I'm so weak. I need you to strengthen me out of your holy place. And then he says, remember all thy offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice. Now, what's our offering? Christ. We wouldn't dare offer anything else. Our only hope is found in his death. And here's the way I understand this verse. He hath made us what? Accepted. Accepted. Completely accepted in the beloved because of the Lord's offering and his burnt offering. His life and his death has made every believer accepted in the beloved. Verse 4, grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. Now, what is in the heart of the believer more than anything else? It's seen in the request of the Greeks to the apostles in John chapter 12, sirs, we would see Jesus. That is our desire, to see him. And this goes along with it, to be found in him. Not having our own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. To know him. To know the power of his resurrection. To know the fellowship of his sufferings. To know what he did for me. To know, to become like him in his obedience unto death, if by any means we might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Now, what does the psalmist say? The Lord's going to grant you all your desires and fulfill all your counsel. We, verse 5, we, every one of the elect, all for whom Christ died, every believer, everyone in Christ, we will rejoice in thy salvation. Now, thy salvation, it begins with God's ancient choice of his people before time began. If I could say it begins anywhere, because it doesn't, it's eternal. I love to think of Christ being my surety, taking full responsibility for my salvation before time began. I think of his incarnation, where in the flesh, God actually became bone of our bones and flesh of our flesh. And in the flesh, he kept the law for me. In the flesh, he died for me, put away my sin. in the flesh. He was raised from the dead and went back to the Father as my representative. And all that he accomplished, justification, redemption, regeneration, preservation, me being preserved, all he accomplished in his salvation. I love the way David says, we will rejoice in thy salvation. And in the name of our God will we set up our banners. Now remember that set up our banners means makes conspicuous. What's conspicuous in your salvation? The grace of God. The name of God. The attributes of God in saving you. You know, what's conspicuous in my salvation? God's eternal purpose to will my salvation. What's conspicuous in my salvation? The life and death of the Lord Jesus Christ in accomplishing it. What's conspicuous in my salvation? The work of God the Holy Spirit giving me life. This is all the work of God. And every believer can say amen to this. It's the name of God that's conspicuous in my salvation. Not me, but His name, His attributes that are glorified in my salvation. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Lord, save me. Now here's assurance. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. Now remember this about assurance. If you're looking for assurance that you're saved, you're probably not going to have it. That's not where assurance comes from. Assurance is not believing even that you are saved. Assurance is believing that God saves his anointed. And your salvation is in the anointed. Now there's assurance. There's assurance that God saveth his anointed and everybody in him. And this is my only hope of salvation, that God saves his anointed. And if you think of God saving Christ and accepting Christ, that's where assurance comes from. If you start thinking, well, I need to start looking for evidences. Am I changing? Am I better? You're not going to get any assurance from that. But oh, the assurance that comes from this. I know the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand because of his anointed. He will hear. Verse 7. Now, like I said, this has been called the watchword of the Reformation. As a matter of fact, this was a verse that they would put up in a lot of these meetings that were taking place back in the 1500s or 1600s, whenever it took place. But I love this verse. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. Now, those were the main weapons of battle, a chariot and a horse. The more chariots you had, the more political power you had, the more military power you had. And oh, we've got a bunch of chariots and horses. We're in good shape. We're safe. But, you know, this is one of the definitions of grace. But, we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now don't miss this word remember. Because faith, as much as anything else, is remembering what God has said. What do I mean by that? I feel so incomplete. And I'm made to remember what God said. You're complete in Him. That's what faith does. Remember, it said of the Holy Spirit, He'll bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said to you. The name of the Lord our God. What's the name of the Lord our God? Is Jehovah Tzidkenu, Jeremiah 23:6. The Lord our righteousness. I feel as if I have no righteousness. And I'm made to remember the Lord is my righteousness. We're made to remember the name of the Lord our God. That's every attribute of God. Now, verse 8, they are brought down, those who trust in chariots and horses. They're brought down and fallen. There's no salvation for that person who doesn't trust the name of the Lord his God. Those that put their trust in chariots and horses, in human instrumentality, in human anything, they are brought down and fallen. But we are risen, and we stand upright. Risen in Christ, stand upright, accepted in the Beloved. They are perished, but we are risen and stand upright. And here is our prayer that's not a one-time prayer, but it's an all-the-time prayer. Save, Lord. Save, Lord. I don't know. Lord, save me. Save me. Save me from myself. Save me from my sins. Save me from my circumstances. Save me from the holes I dig myself in. Save me. Save me. That's a repeated, that's not a one-time prayer. Well, I'm already saved. Save me. Save me. Can you pray that prayer right now? Save me. Save, Lord. Let the King hear us when we call. May the King hear us when we call. Amen.